And we're going to turn now to our Bible reading, which is from Matthew chapter 23. And I do invite you to follow that along in the Pew Bibles, page 991.
Reading from page 991 in your Bibles. A warning against hypocrisy. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Celia, thank you very much. Well, the theme of our Bible passage is hypocrisy, and it's a charge that's often levelled, isn't it, against Christians and against the church. So why don't I pray that God would help us to not be hypocrites and to understand how he wants us to live. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that he is very straightforward and very honest with us about these things, and pray that you might teach us. We pray particularly as this Baptism Sunday, you'd help all of us who are here are parents, that we might bring our children up in a way that honours and pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the problem. The church and Christians often like to talk a good game, but don't behave in a way that's consistent with what they say. We talk about love in the pulpit and don't love very much. We talk about justice in the pulpit and often there's quite a lot of injustice going on. We talk about the environment and seem to care very little for it. We talk about holiness and there's very little evidence of it. So it's quite an accusation that people often make is that the church is hypocritical. Now the reality is the people of God have always struggled throughout the whole of history because we're not perfect. That God's standards are here and perfect, and we're what the Bible calls sinners, and we make mistakes all the time. And so there is always a gap between how we want to live and how we do live. The wonderful news is there's one person who's not a hypocrite. He's Jesus, who models to us what it looks like to live. And the Bible also says that the Holy Spirit's now been given to help us not be hypocrites, but increasingly live in a way God wants. So let's have a look at this passage and see what we learn on this subject. Now, if you've been coming to St. Matthew's over the last few weeks, you'll know that we are in Jerusalem. This is a model of what the temple would have looked like in Jesus' day. Rebuilt under Herod, it was the big building that dominated the skyline. I said this earlier in the summer. At the moment, we've got the Paralympics on. The Eiffel Tower is on every shot I can see of Paris. And what the Eiffel Tower is to Paris, this building was to Jerusalem. It dominates everything in the city. It was the place of political and religious life. All the religious leaders, they are based there. It's the place you go to worship. It's a bit like the Houses of Parliament, St. Paul's Cathedral, Buckingham Palace, they're all rolled into one here in the temple. And at the beginning of this series, we were reminded that Jesus, of course, came in as a triumphal king to Jerusalem. Not on a stallion, not on a chariot, on a donkey. And then the first thing he does is he heads to this grand temple and is very upset at what he finds. He turns over tables because they've turned this outer court, which was there for prayer, into a marketplace. And he says, this is a den of robbers. So he's not got a lot of time for what's going on. And over the last few weeks, we've seen this sort of clash between religious leaders and Jesus. And essentially our passage is Jesus essentially turning to the crowd and to his disciples and says, I'm done with what I've seen here. And particularly one of the things he sees is hypocrisy. And he has, I think, three massive criticisms of the leadership there that, of course, I think we want to avoid here at St. Matthew's and in our lives. So here are the three criticisms coming up. Firstly, they did not practice what they preached. If you're following your Bibles, Jesus says, you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. So these religious leaders, their job was to expound the Old Testament. That's not a problem, that was their job. The problem was, they expounded the Old Testament and didn't put it into practice. They said they cared about love and justice, but they didn't follow that through in the way they behaved. And actually, that's been a persistent problem throughout the Old Testament. Time after time, the Old Testament people of God fail to live in the way that the Bible has asked them to do so. God consistently says to them, you don't care about justice, you don't care for the poor, you don't care for the vulnerable, you don't care for holiness, you're worshipping other gods. And what Jesus finds when he heads to that temple is sadly the same thing. And Jesus says, I don't want that. I want what you say you believe for you to live it out. And the Apostle James says the same thing in his letter later in the Bible. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. We need to live out what we believe. We need to be consistent. We say this, we need to live. Now, of course, this is quite challenging, isn't it? Especially for those of us in leadership, especially for me standing here. What I preach and call you to do on a Sunday, I need to be doing myself. On Friday evening, I was out in Northiam, which is a little village out in East Sussex, licensing a new church army evangelist. And in my sermon, I was encouraging him to be a man of prayer. And I thought, knowing I had to preach this Sunday, thinking, am I a man of prayer? The sign of that thing is it comes straight back to ask the question, doesn't it? I can call on someone else, but will I practice what I preach? Is prayer going to be right at the heart of my ministry? Actually, when we call to say this is what we believe, when we talk to our family and friends, do we live it out? Is there a gap between what we say and what we do? We need to be those who do, not just talk. It's quite challenging, isn't it? Now, I want to talk about being parents. Because when you have children, they reveal your hypocrisy very fast, I've learnt. So, when they're younger, and you say, we're not having snacks between meals, and so you make this really clear, and then they catch you with your hand in the biscuit tin, and they're like, you've got to be consistent. And now my children are a bit older, it's phones is the latest thing. No, we're not having phone time now. And then they catch you on your phone, and you're like, ooh, yes, there's that need to be consistent. Or maybe it's about church. You say, no, you're not going to a party on a Sunday morning. We go to church. That's a priority. And then you sack off church for whatever reason. They go, why are we not at church today? It's really interesting. You get pulled up on these things very quickly, children do. Are they very honest? You're being inconsistent. So my prayer for you, Ben and Teresa, is that you can be consistent in the way you bring Joshua up. We believe this stuff. Let's live it out in our family life together. Let's practice what we preach. Let's not be like these guys. But as you think about this, this is where Jesus is amazing. Because Jesus always practiced what he preached. So Jesus says, live this way, and he did. Jesus says, worship God, and he did. And I was thinking, actually, Jesus died, didn't he, for our hypocrisy. All this I mess up and we've caught our finger in the biscuit tin and all the other things we do where we're not consistent. Jesus died for them so that we might be forgiven. So that's the first mistake. They did not practice what they preached. Secondly, they placed heavy burdens on people. Verse 4. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. So, okay, we've got the Mosaic Law. And what the religious leaders of that day did was they started to add a few more things on. Yes, keep the Mosaic Law, but here's these other things you need to do and keep. And Jesus has no time for that. He says, what you're doing is you're just burdening people with things. And they don't even try and help them to keep them. They then try to look self-righteous when they said, look, we're keeping these extra rules and you are not. And Jesus describes these as heavy and cumbersome. And then you think about it, you see, oh, there's church today, we wouldn't do such a thing, you think. Oh, yeah, we will. How about Lent? We've just added that in. That's a nice little tradition. You've got to keep that. Got to fast for Lent, give up something for Lent. That's a nice human tradition we've added. Feast days, fast days, Ember days, the Church of England loves all that. You've got to keep those. Attend confession, attend communion, have a quiet time, read the whole Bible in a year, attend a midweek group. We just add on these extra rules, don't we? And burden people with them. Now, some of those things are good. I'm not saying reading the Bible in the morning is a bad thing or Lent is a bad thing. But when we insist on them, we've just made them burdens. And then the worst thing is where we burden people with them, people like me, and then do nothing to help people keep them. So as a church, are we adding on extra rules? And again, just as parents, we can add burdens on our children very quickly. We expect them to reach these milestones or to reach these grades, and we just place burdens on them that they cannot meet. But that's not the way of Jesus. Interestingly, earlier on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying actually his way is not like that. Because how do we have a relationship with God? It's not through keeping a whole bunch of rules, no. But simply trusting in Jesus. Having a relationship with Jesus. He forgives us. There is freedom in knowing Jesus. He comes not to place burdens and rules. He comes to offer freedom and forgiveness and a relationship with God. The way of the religious leaders, they didn't practice what they preached. They put heavy burdens, complete contrast to Jesus. And here's the third thing. They sought to be honoured rather than to serve. Now, there's lots of different ways to do this. Let's just work them. Firstly, they like to be seen to be religious. Verse 5, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. In other words, they like to wear things that make them look very holy. And they like to be seen to be very holy. Now, we're in the Church of England. The Church of England does good business in wearing long flowing robes. Why do we wear them? Why do some clergy wear them? Is it because there's a good theological reason, or is it simply because we want to look holy and special as we walk around town? Why do I wear a clerical collar? And what are my motivations and hearts going on with that? When you think about things like Ash Wednesday, and we have the ashing, when we do ashing on the forehead, we don't do it here, partly because I think, what are we trying to do here? Yes, remind ourselves of our mortality, but then when we walk around town, is it because we want to show off and people to see us? Now, I'm guessing this may not be the biggest temptation in our church family, but sometimes I see things on social media, a nice picture of a Bible and a coffee cup, hashtag blessed, hashtag quiet time. Is that not just the same thing? Where we try want people to see how holy and wonderful we are, off to church today, at this festival. Is it not just the same thing? Seeking honour from humans rather than seeking to serve God. Secondly, they wanted places of honour in society and in the synagogue. Verse 6. They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. These guys like to be seen as superior. They like to be seen in the top places. And again, I fear in the church we slip back into this. When the bishop comes, we may go and find a special chair for him. The rector is supposed to sit over there in the rector's stool. Why do they get special seats? Are we not buying into this kind of religious idea that Jesus doesn't approve of? I was at a deanery confirmation last year, and there was this long debate about what order the clergy would walk in the right hierarchy. And you think, we've lost the plot when we go down this road, haven't we? But yet people really care about this stuff. I assume because it's all about the honour rather than service. But it's not just the clergy, is it? All of us can be tempted to want to be seen, to have certain places in church, to be seen at the front, or to be seen to have a certain qualification. It's not the way of Jesus, is it? Lastly, they wanted titles of respect. Have a look at me, verse 7. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you're not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. What Jesus, I think, is doing is saying, look, don't think of yourself as superior to others. You're all brothers. You're all on the level playing field. I don't really like that old clergy-laity distinction. I don't really use it. Because actually, we're all saved by Jesus. We're all brothers and sisters in the church family, all of us with a different role to play. So let's not get into this world of having to have special titles so that we feel superior. And again, the Church of England sadly seems to do good business in this, with rectors and vicars and fathers and mothers and reverends and right reverends, canons and venerables. Why have we got all these titles? Or ALMs and LLMs or whatever else it might be. Is this not really just against what Jesus is wanting here? Have a look at me, verse 11. See, Jesus isn't really interested in any of that. What's he interested in? The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. One of our children's CDs refers to this as the topsy-turvy kingdom. See, in God's kingdom, the greatest is the one who serves. Isn't that what Jesus is going to do? Is he looking for a title? No, he's going to be a criminal on a cross. Is he looking for the place of honour? He's outside Jerusalem on a cross with the criminals. See, Jesus himself is going to model perfectly service, where we're looking to see the good in others, serve others, love others, rather than thinking about me and myself. Our prayer for Joshua is that he would grow up to be a wonderful servant of God, with the gifts that he's been given to be able to serve God now and throughout his life. And the Bible says as he learns and understands the way of service, he will be honoured, because that is the way of Christ. So as we close today, it seems to me that we need to say sorry where we have not practiced what we preach. Sorry where we've put burdens on people. I'm sorry where we've done that here. And we need to seek service, not honour. And as we do that, don't we need to behold Jesus, who always practiced what he preached, whose yoke is easy, who offers rest, and the one who's us, dying and rising, so we can be forgiven, part of God's family, and have the hope of heaven. The gospel is wonderful news. So shall I pray that we might be able to put this into practice? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for these scriptures. And Father, thank you that they do speak to us directly. And we're sorry where we've been hypocrites, where we haven't practiced what we've preached, where we've burdened people, and where we've sought honour rather than service. Please transform our hearts. May we behold Jesus more clearly today and onwards. May we follow the example of Jesus. And we pray for Joshua that he might behold Christ and follow his wonderful example. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing.